Let us pray. Oh God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Two Texans were trying to impress each other with the size of their ranches. One asked the other, what's the name of your ranch? He replied, the Rocking R, ABC, Flying W, Circle C, Bar U, Staple 4, Box D, Rolling M, Rainbow's End, Silver Spur Ranch. The questioner was much impressed and exclaimed, whoa, that's sure some name. How many head of cattle do you run? To which the rancher answered, not many. Very few survive the branding. My brothers and sisters, Christians have been marked as Christ's own forever. In a way, we've been branded, for we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. But do we live daily for the one who bled, suffered, and died for us? If we've been marked as the Lord's, do our lives reflect Him? Dietrich Bonhoeffer once noted, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. Did you hear that? Not just a part of our lives, but everything. The whole shebang. We live for Jesus by dying to ourselves. We live for Jesus by walking the way of the cross. For Jesus, our Messiah, told us quite plainly, if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, pick up their own cross, and follow me. But as American Christians, we do a whole lot of living for ourselves, don't we? For many of us in the North American church, our lives don't look a whole lot like Jesus. And let's be honest, why? Let's take assessment. The percentages are staggering. In North America, we've got believers who never attend church. Now the new norm is 3 times out of 8 weeks. We've got people who never pray. We've got people who never read the scriptures, who never contribute financially to the ministries and the mission of the church, who never assume responsibility within the local congregation, who never invite anyone to church. When was the last time you did that? And who have never led someone to faith. Yet we are marked by Christ. We are branded, if you will. And Jesus walked the way of the cross. And we are to walk that way too. But what does this mean for us if we are to truly follow Jesus? If we are to walk this way that he set before us? It means we will have an instructed mind. It means we will have an obedient will. It means we will have a determined trust. And it means we will have a victorious confidence. And we will have these attributes, not just in the good times of feasting and splendor when everything is merry, but also when things hurt, when indeed there is suffering, when there is pain, when there is excruciating agony. We are to walk the way of the cross. And this way is costly. And we walk the way of the cross because Jesus, whom we claim to be our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our King, walked it first. This morning, let us fathom once more together the cost of discipleship and following Jesus. Let us set our eyes, our determination, our strength, and our wills on walking the way of the cross of Jesus Christ. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Found on page 435. Now a man was going to work one morning when he was pulled over by a state trooper. This just recently happened to me. The trooper walked up to the man's car and said, "Sir, did you not see the stop sign?" And the man replied, "I have been traveling this road for 20 years and have never stopped once at that sign." And the trooper said, "Well, now you will," as he handed him a ticket. The very next morning, the same trooper was called to investigate a car wreck at that same exact stop sign. And much to his amazement, when he got to the first car, it was the man he had given a ticket to the morning before for not stopping at the stop sign. The trooper asked what had happened. "Don't ask me, ask the guy that hit me from behind." So the trooper walked back to the second vehicle and inquired of the second man what had happened. And the man exclaimed, "It's not my fault that I hit him. I've been following him for 20 years, and he never once stopped at that sign before." My friends, as a cross-shaped people, we are to follow the right leader. The right leader. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ, and he is the suffering servant found in the book of Isaiah. Now, the book of Isaiah was written over many years, but there are four songs within the book that point and deal with the suffering servant. Today, we are looking at the third song, number 3 out of 4. But before we dig into it, let me bring us all up to speed on the first two. You see, the first song of the suffering servant is found in Isaiah 42, and it deals with the call of the servant to bring justice to the nations and to restore the remnant of Israel. The second song in Isaiah 49 elaborates on this. For in verse 6 it states, "You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles." That means to the rest of the world. "And you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." But the second song also tells that the servant will be despised, that the servant will be rejected, which leads us to the third song today. And the third song begins with the sovereign Lord instructing the servant, who is the embodiment of Israel. And the servant has received an instructed tongue, a disciple's tongue. Indeed, the servant is the perfect disciple, the perfect student. The one who teaches him is none other than the one who never grows weary. And the servant is instructed so that he may give a comforting word. Morning by morning, day after day, the servant was trained by the Lord God of hosts, the God of the angel armies. And not only does the servant receive an instructed tongue, but he receives an instructed mind. For the Lord has awoken and opened his understanding to his perfect will. So here is principle number one for us this morning. If we are to walk the way of the cross, we too must have an instructed mind. And this entails more than just knowing the Bible, although that's quite important. And I'm always going to encourage and challenge us to know that. But this is more than just factual knowledge about God. It is also heart knowledge that comes from humility, from sitting at Jesus' feet. You know, when I disciple people, I am looking for fruit. Fruit. I'm looking for them to grow in Christ-like character as well as competency in their skill sets. And if they are not teachable, if they are not humble, they will not be good disciples that bear good fruit. And I will not disciple them for long. With the servant, he humbled himself every single day. And the Lord gave him wisdom and understanding to comfort the weary and the exhausted with the word. Like the servant, we too must have an instructed mind. So my question is this: are you teachable? And I'll follow that up with a couple more. Are you humble? Will you sit at the Lord's feet and have an instructed mind? Will you make time for him to waken your understanding? Yet the suffering servant has more than just an instructed mind. He also has an obedient will. The Lord has spoken to him, and he heard his voice by not rebelling or turning away. Even in the face of opposition, for the servant has yielded completely to the will of God, his Father. The servant speaks, I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. So here is principle number two for us this morning. If we walk the way of the cross, we too must have an obedient will. This means we must know the difference between the one who leads and the one who follows. In his book, None of These Diseases, S.I. McMillan tells a story of a young woman who wanted to go to college. But her heart sank when she read the question that asked, "Are you a leader?" Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote no and returned the application, expecting the very worst. Yet to her surprise, she received this letter from the university. Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveal that this year, our college will have 1,452 leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower. It is the Lord Jesus whom we are to follow, my friends. But so many who claim to be followers of Christ are merely leading themselves. They're not following Jesus. They lack obedient wills to the Lord because their obedience is unto themselves. They are Lord of their lives, not the Lord Jesus Christ. They forget who the leader is. So my question is, are you obedient? And I'll follow it up with another one. Are you following the example of obedience Jesus, the suffering servant, modeled? Because, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it, when Christ calls a man or a woman, he calls them to come and die. Jesus came to do his Father's will. We must walk the way of the cross and do the same. But the suffering servant also walks with a determined trust that God will help him. I think that any man who has ever walked into an IKEA feels the same. Those places are designed that once you enter, you've got to go the whole way through to get out. You've got to have resolve to finish that journey. Notice the resolve of the suffering servant. He is determined to finish the task that is set before him because the sovereign Lord is his help. He believes in his heart what the apostle stated in Romans. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Even in suffering. Even in death. You see, the servant trusts in God, even during great anguish and pain and suffering. So here's principle number three for us this morning. If we walk the way of the cross, we too must have a determined trust. No matter what life throws at us, life happens. Does it not? And life will throw all kinds of crazy stuff at us. In times of joy, in times of sorrow, we must walk with a determined trust. And we walk because we know that good is coming to us. We trust in the God who paid it all, who gave his all, and who is all in all. Amen? Amen? Walking the way of the cross with a determined trust is a must. For no matter what we endure in our walk, resurrection awaits us. It really does. There is good coming to us, which gives us a victorious confidence in our sufferings here in this life. Notice the confidence of the suffering servant. He who gives me justice is near. Who will dare to bring charges against me now? Where are my accusers? Let them appear. See, the sovereign Lord is on my side. You see, he sees through the suffering to vindication and victory. He sees through the cross to the resurrection. For all his enemies will be destroyed. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? So here is principle number four for us this morning. If we walk the way of the cross, we too must have a victorious confidence. In Christ, who accuses us? In Christ, who shall find us guilty? Because he conquered sin, death, and the powers of hell, the victory of Jesus Christ is our victory as well. And we can walk the way of the cross in this life with this victorious confidence. We won't back down. We shall not lose heart. We will run the race of faith to its completion. For we stand in the victory of the mighty one, the Lord Jesus, as we walk the way of the cross. And what a victorious confidence. So how do we take these four principles of the walk of the suffering servant who is the Lord Jesus and put them into practice? How do we walk the way of the cross with an instructed mind, an obedient will, a determined trust, and a victorious confidence? The answer lies in verses 10 and 11 of our passage this morning. First, we are to trust and obey. Trust and obey. In daily life, this means living in the light of Jesus Christ. It means not only being hearers of the word, but doers of the word. It means not just talking the talk, but actually walking it. And like I said earlier, most North American Christians are not walking it. In fact, nowadays, I'm not even sure they're talking it. It's not just saying the sinner's prayer once, claiming that you're a follower of Jesus, but then denying him by the way that you live. Trusting and obeying Jesus Christ is a 24/7 reality. Not a one-time event. It will cost you what? Your life. Everything. And trusting and obeying is not just some cognitive belief or data and facts. It's faith and practice. It's faith lived out. It has flesh on it. Walking the way of the cross does indeed mean actively pursuing the way of life that Jesus modeled. How is your trust and obedience lately? You see, it's an issue of the heart, my friends. Of putting first things first. Of putting the one who is all in all first. Is the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life? Is he actually Lord of your life? Or are you just playing a game? Are you just deceiving yourself? Have you put yourself first or some other idol? Have you run after a false love? My friends, trust and obey. Trust and obey. Secondly, we must reject the practice of self-worship. This kind of selfie theology that has taken over the North American church culture in the last 30 or 40 or 50 years. We are all forewarned in our passage. Watch out! You who live in your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. You see, we are to walk in the light of the one who is the light of the world. To walk the path of the suffering servant that leads to perpetual light, who transforms you and me to be the light of the world. As Christ followers, we are to die so that we may live. But so many of us don't live that way. We don't live each and every day as if Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives. We live as if we are. We don't choose to live in his light. We choose to live in our own. My friends, the great lie is that it's all about us. You're going to be faced with it many, many times a day. When the truth is, it's all about him, your life, the decisions you make, the things that you're faced with. Choose him first and foremost. My friends, when we pray that God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we cannot walk the way of the cross unless we have divine power. And we walk the way of the cross by living right side up in an upside down world. It's not going to make a whole lot of sense to people out there. It's not going to make a whole lot of sense if they're not following Christ. You're going to live a different type of life. And when we walk the way of the cross, our very lives testify to all, to seen and unseen, to known and unknown, that Jesus Christ is the one who came to do the Father's will, and he embraced the hardwood of the cross to purchase a people from all over, from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And the very people he has purchased from all over the world, he has called into discipleship, into a way of life. He has called them to deny themselves, to take up the cross, to follow after him. And we've heard it said, choose this day whom you will serve. It's very popular in the church. Oftentimes it becomes Christianese. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as the reality shows in North America, Christians have made their choice. Have they not? We need to pray for revival. We need to pray for an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And it starts with God changing our own hearts first. So my call to each of us this morning, and I'm not picking on you. I know I come off strong sometimes. I'm Scottish. But this is because I love you, and I love the church, and I love God's mission in the world. God has called us into something extraordinary, something marvelous and wondrous, and that is to walk in the footsteps of the second person of the Trinity. And we don't do it alone. We do it with the third person of the Trinity empowering us and guiding us, and we do it with the saints of God. But revival has to start within your own heart. And there's a choice that has to be made each and every single day. Choose this day whom you will serve. Is it the Lord Jesus? Is he really Lord of your life? Because if he is, then your life is going to look a whole lot like his. And we know that the North American church is not like this. It's one reason why we started this church. We started this church because we wanted to take discipleship seriously. What does that look like? Well, for starters, it means pursuing God on a 24/7 daily basis. Pursuing God in the same way that we breathe in air and we exhale air. What if we really pursued and loved God like that? What if we really loved him that way? He's worthy of it. He really is. It also means plugging into the local church. What do I mean by that? That can become Christianese in our day and age too. You see, if you love Jesus, you will love the church with all of its warts, with all of its blemishes and its imperfections. You see, Jesus doesn't offer you a choice. You can't just say, well, I love Jesus, but the church I'm not really sure about. No, that's not reality. Of course, there's a lot of people that claim that Jesus is their Lord, but yet they have denied the church. Well, the church seems to be God's answer and God's design for this world and for the life of the world to come. There's a lot of things that I wish to say about this. I'm showing restraint. But I think it comes back to this. It comes back to love. It really does. And the older that I get, and the more that I walk with the Lord Jesus, the more I see that I have failed to love him. And my heart breaks. My heart breaks. Because I do love him. And I want God's people to love him, to pursue him, to walk the way of the cross. So this morning I ask another question. Who are we really living for? We're living for ourselves. The natural desires of the flesh are prone to self-worship and self-indulgence. We've embraced that selfie theology to the limit. If we live in the illumination of our own light, which is not light at all, it will only bring us ruin and great torment. We are only deceiving ourselves if we live this way. We must follow the suffering servant who first loved us and gave his life for us. whose very life demonstrated an instructed mind, an obedient will, a devoted trust, and a victorious confidence. For when Christ calls a man or a woman, he calls them to come and die. But not just to die. Not just to die. For whoever lays down his life for Jesus' sake shall find it. He is the resurrection and the life after all. And he has come to give us life to the full. A life he gives to us because he walked the way of the cross. God, give us the grace to do the same. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the sacrificial love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant that we may choose to follow the example he set, daily denying ourselves, taking up our own crosses and following him by the power and the ongoing support of your Holy Spirit. Help us to cast down those idols and false lovers that have crept up on us, drawing us away from the path you desire us to walk in. The greed of wealth, the lure of sex, and the self-exaltation of our own egos, passions, and pursuits. Give us resolve to take each step along the way of the cross in humble obedience to your will for our lives, ever looking forward to the day when your Son returns in great glory and great majesty to make all things new. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.